Chapter 9. By the time Walden knocked on her door to tell Lucy that they were headed over to the Hofbräu house, she was engrossed in her second reading of the baby girl case files. The first time through, she'd been looking at the big picture of the events leading up to where they were today. Now she was combing for clues. If they could identify and locate the man known as Daddy, they could end this. Did you realize he didn't actually put the baby girl images up for sale until after the incident at the mall? She asked as she rubbed her eyes. She should use her reading glasses for working at the computer, but hated the way they pinched her nose.
Yes, I figured he thought it was less risky that way, disseminating them after she's gone.
I'm not sure. Seems to me, if he was ready to auction her off, he could have gotten more money for her by putting those up first. She frowned. Felt like she was close to understanding something important about how Daddy's mind worked.
But he made a ton of money from the images. Why bother selling her at all? Why not just destroy the evidence?
Lucy rolled her shoulders. He's been so careful, covering his tracks all these years. Selling June and releasing her images might be the only two mistakes he's made.
Not much to go on. At least not for the past decade we've been hunting him.
Are you really going to take a job with the bank squad? Her abrupt change of topic didn't faze him. Walden was not easily fazed, period.
I think I'm due for a little peace and quiet. Something in short supply around here.
He was talking about what happened 2 months ago. She sighed. Couldn't everyone move on past that so things could get back to normal? Except, she had no clue what normal meant any longer, just that it was going to be damned hard to return to anything remotely resembling it, without Walden there acting as her counterweight.
Are you coming to lunch?
I'll meet you there, she said, barely glancing up from the computer monitor.
Sure?
He turned the affirmation into a question. Lucy jerked her head up. I can manage driving myself a few blocks. I just want to finish catching up. She hadn't been involved firsthand, didn't have the intimate knowledge of the case that Walden, Oshiro, and Seth Bernhard had. Plus, she can sense there were patterns here, swirling just beneath the surface of all the random facts. He met her gaze and nodded slowly.
Have a care, Lucy. This case will swallow you whole.
Then why'd you bring it to me? Especially now, she didn't add.
Seemed a no-brainer when Seth called me yesterday. Right place, right time, right investigator.
Lucy wondered if he meant himself or her. Didn't matter. She was in it now and wasn't about to be a liability, even if she was on modified duty. She waved him away. Order the Jägerschnitzel for me. I'll be there in 20.
You better. I'm not going to let good food get cold and go to waste.
He left, and she turned back to the case files. They had Walden's investigative magic all over them. It wasn't often that they were able to identify a victim of child porn, not with images found randomly on computers all over the world and dating back a decade. Hell, they hadn't even realized the collection was a collection of the same girl's images, not until Walden pieced it all together. She imagined Walden, hunched over computer in a dark room, spending his days and nights, hundreds of man hours, examining frame by frame, pixel by pixel, the worst kind of horrific images. 4 years ago, when he worked the baby girl case, he'd just lost his wife. He should have been lost in mourning. Lord knew she would have been if she lost Nick. Instead, he'd poured his heart and soul and grief into saving one little girl. New technology had helped to locate computers with the baby girl images, but it had been a quirk of nature that had led Walden, and later Seth Bernhardt, the AUSA, in charge of prosecuting the subjects who'd possessed the images, to June. A birthmark. Not very large, just big enough and distinct enough to show up with image enhancement. They'd known the images were all taken in the same location, but they hadn't been able to prove they were all of the same girl.
not as if they were time-stamped and not every subject had possessed the entire collection, so they found them randomly and out of order, until Walden followed the birthmark as it slowly grew with her. Walden used the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's database, thinking, best-case scenario, he'd find a missing persons report or, worst case, a Jane Doe autopsy report. Instead, he discovered a Jane Doe found report from almost a decade before. And then, with the help of children and youth, he and Bernhard had tracked June. Too late to save her, but in time to help them maybe save others with Bernhard's legal strategy. When Lucy looked up, it was almost 2 o'clock, 40 minutes since the others left for lunch. She grabbed her cane and bag and left her office, hoping Walden had ordered for her. She was surprised to see Taylor still there, hunched over his keyboard, his face scrunched in concentration, resembling a toddler putting together a puzzle for the first time. As she watched, two of the high-tech crimes guys were crouched low, trying to sneak up behind him, Nerf submachine guns at the ready. Taylor's fingers barely broke their rhythm as he pulled a lever beside his computer, unleashing a catapult filled with ping-pong balls at one would-be assassin and, using the reflection in the computer monitor to aim, shot the other one with his pink pistol, firing over his shoulder. "Ogg!" both techs moaned in fake dying agony as they writhed on the floor. Then Taylor caught sight of Lucy. She was smiling, but he spun in his chair, suddenly serious. Not because of her, she realized. Because of the damn cane. "Clean that up," he ordered the text. "Someone could slip and fall." They scrambled to clear a path for Lucy, mumbling, "Sorry, boss." She wasn't sure if the words were for her or Taylor. She crossed to his workstation without incident. "Thought you went to lunch with everyone else." "No." His gaze slid back to his monitor with its lines of code. "This medical records hack, it's poetic." "Right." She knew better than to question his sense of cyber aesthetics, or to interrupt him when he was in the middle of analyzing code. "Want me to bring you back something?" "Walden's got my order. I think I'm close to isolating his signature." Lucy left him to his cyber prowling and took the elevator down to the garage. She hated elevators, so it was almost as much punishment as the stairs. But she was already exhausted and hungry and needed to conserve her energy. She was ready for another of the anti-inflammatory pills the doctors had prescribed. Ibuprofen on steroids, he'd described it. But they ripped her stomach apart so she could only take them with food. Her foot and ankle, hell, the whole damn leg, not to mention her back spasming from holding her body so stiffly, throbbed with the force of a sledgehammer. She opened the door of her Subaru Forester and carefully shifted her weight onto the driver's seat. Before her injury, she never would have imagined how complicated the mechanics of getting into and out of a vehicle could be. After she'd come home from the rehab hospital, she tried riding a Nick's Explorer, but it was too high to climb, forcing her to always put weight on her injured foot. She needed a new car anyway. Thought she'd just get another Impreza like her old one. She loved that car, the way it could out-accelerate just about anything on the road, especially around the twisty switchback mountain roads. But it was too low slung. So she'd sacrificed both her 5-speed manual transmission and her sports car for the SUV. She had to admit, she did like riding up higher, and she'd been able to adjust the seat and steering wheel so that it was as close to comfortable as any vehicle could get with her foot howling with each pothole, sharp turn, or sudden stop. Thankfully, the Hofbrau House was a straight shot down Carson from the federal building, and no potholes. She pulled alongside the Cheesecake Factory, hoping to find a parking space. The Hofbrau House was directly in front of her. Beside it was the terraced amphitheater where summer concerts were held. The concrete steps that served as seating also led down the steep hill to the heritage trail that ran alongside the river and the boat landing. On both sides of the steps were zigzagged, handicapped accessible ramps, and there were large concrete planters with small trees and shrubs scattered throughout the plaza. no joy with parking. She'd have to circle around the block or hit the garage on Carson. As she pulled up to the stop sign on Water Street and signaled her turn, a group of people emerged from the Hofbrauhaus across the street, June and the others. Seth had his arm around June's waist, but he was in earnest conversation with Oshiro. June tilted her head up, her gaze searching the clear blue sky, hair ruffling with the March wind. There was supposed to be a storm front moving in later today, but right now the sun was shining. June broke away from the men, her fingers trailing down Seth's arm, squeezing his hand before wandering off to perch against a nearby planter. She closed her eyes and stretched her body, basking as if she hadn't seen sunlight in ages. Seth and Oshiro continued their conversation, bodies angled toward each other, shoulders and heads hunched like football players huddled together on fourth and long. Walden spotted Lucy and sprinted across the street, coming around to her driver's side window. In his hand was a plastic bag, hopefully brimming with food for her and Taylor. She rolled down her window. It was breezy, in the 50s. Not bad for a Pittsburgh March. Walden leaned in.
Knew you wouldn't make it. Don't worry, I have you covered.
He raised the bag, releasing the enticing aroma of Jägerschnitzel into the forester. Thanks. I lost track of... Motion from the group across the street caught her attention. No, not the men standing at the curb waiting for Walden to return with the car. Rather, a motorcyclist speeding down Water Street. The street was clear of traffic, yet he swerved directly at Seth and Oshiro. What the? Before she can finish her thought, the motorcyclist raised a hand and aimed a gun at Oshiro and Seth Bernhardt.